Wait, start again.
He's just seeing his kids.
All right, come on, guys. Stay on track here.
This is Wisdom from the Wardrobe, brought to you by Michael Bruce Image Consulting.
Who's ready for some style fun? It's that time of the week. It's Wisdom from the Wardrobe, where we get to entertain you, or edutain you, as Stacey would say, for the next 28 minutes on anything style related. We are the Michael Bruce Image Consulting style team, and let me introduce you to your hosts. First up, we have the Baron of Bouge himself, Bruce.
Hey, what up?
We have the beautiful Beck.
Well, hello.
We have sensational Stacey. Well, we did have sensational Stacey. She's having tech issues this week. Seems to be a theme for February, tech issues.
Absolutely.
Well, Stacey's with us. She'll jump back in shortly. And I am Pamela, or as the team calls me, Lady P.
Lady P, what
Lady
up?
P, what
not
up?
My favorite, but that's okay.
I feel like we should do a Lady P, like almost like a Tribe Called Quest kind of vibe. You know what I mean? I'm on tip point. Lady P's in the house, right? I'm going to come up with a rap.
Okay, you do that and keep it to yourself. No one wants to hear it. Oh, dear.
Oh, Stacey is back.
I missed it. I couldn't say lovely Lady P. Oh, my gosh.
No, you
That's
couldn't.
Okay. That's okay. I did the Lady P. Bruce is talking about doing a rap in the theme of Tribe Called Quest.
Absolutely. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, no, thanks. But anyway. All right. So, as we kick things off, as we do every week, Beck, what's in the news?
Okay, so here's the thing. I was going to talk about the SAG Awards because I thought, okay, well, that was Saturday night. You know, there were some outfits, some good, some not so good. But then there was also the Independent Spirit Awards on Sunday night. And then I thought, okay, do we really need to talk about more award shows? Instead, what I want to report on is the amazing crew of the Ted Lasso show.
I was just thinking about Hannah Waddington's dress. I mean,
well, okay.
And her purse.
Yes, it wasn't even her. Yes, her purse is a great story, and we'll tell that in a minute. But for me, it was the after party where
the entire cast
put on, yes, the Richmond FC tracksuits and like partied down. To me, I thought, what a great way. It just shows you clothing can really represent, like, you knew that they were sort of all part of a team,
mm-hmm.
and they were all together, and like this simple, you know, not elegant, just simple, comfortable tracksuits united them. And I just thought, to me, that almost was more powerful than, you know, their fancy clothes when they were actually at the event mm-hmm. itself. So
well,
anyway,
fun.
That's what we should do. MBIC tracksuits. I love it.
Thank you. When have you ever seen me in a tracksuit?
Hey, you know what though? You actually have that jumpsuit that looks like a tracksuit that looks really cool. So,
that's
you know,
true.
You could, yeah. Hey, Eric, you could rock a tracksuit, bro.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. My Adidas.
Come on. I knew that was coming.
Well, I saw this thing on Instagram today as I was running through stuff, and it was a tribute to Fife. So, Fife Dog, who passed away in March 23rd, 2016, but it just kind of make me start thinking about, you know, tribes. So I was like, I love those guys. But that's not what we're talking about today.
Sorry, before you squirrel away, I just also wanted to address really quickly Hannah Waddington's purse that she carried mm-hmm. on the red carpet. Her daughter made it for her, and it was made out of cardboard. And, you know, she basically said, my stylist is struggling with this, but my daughter made it for me and I'm using it. And I kind of love that. She, you know, had this very elegant, red, gorgeous gown with this mm-hmm. cardboard purse from her daughter. And I thought, you know what? That's what it's about, right? Having fun with style.
It was brilliant. She made it out of a piece of cardboard. It had shape to it. I mean, Hannah got her, you know, her phone in there and her lippy and whatever else in there, but it was just so cute.
I love that.
Honestly, future fashion designer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, potentially.
Back in the day, my kids used to take that colored duct tape, and
yes.
they would make everything out of it. Like for a whole year, all of my Father's Day and birthday gifts and Christmas were out of duct tape. Like one year, Michaela made me this tie, and she was like, "Dad, I made you a tie. I know how much you like ties." So I was like, "That's great." She's like, "Are you gonna wear it today?" And I was like, really?
Yeah.
And I did. I wore it that day for her.
Well, what a hero.
There you go. Yeah, see? There you go.
And it was pretty stylish because, you know, it was actually orange and gray. I was proud of her.
Well, okay. You have not lived until you've had a duct tape wallet.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had one of those too.
Yep. In Hannah's case, a cardboard purse. Absolutely. Which I give that kid kudos. And you know what? I give her kudos
for our children.
I know. She was so proud of it. If anybody hasn't seen it, go on to X. Yeah. There'll be videos all over that of Hannah being interviewed about her purse. And it's really cute. Really, really cute. All right. Are we ready to step into our topic of the week?
Let's do it.
All right, it's a continuation from last week. Stacey had so many questions that didn't get answered, so we figured we would just carry on the conversation because that's what we like to do.
Absolutely.
Hopefully the rest of the team has brought a few questions along as well. But let's start it up. Let's kick it off with Stacey because, she's written them down. She did her homework last week, so we're going to honor that and we're going to keep answering those questions. All right, Stacey, hit us with your best shot.
Okay, well, in no particular order, combining black and navy, the myth is that that's a no-go.
That is not true.
Yeah, that's totally a myth. I actually really like black and navy. I think it can look really fresh and sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think the only, again, we're talking kind of myths and style advice and whatnot, but as long as you make sure that the hue of the navy and the black are in line, there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't wear them. And even if they're off slightly, you can still wear them. But if you want it to look really purposeful and really elegant, you want to look for the same kind of value. So, you know, if you're doing a black that has more of a brown undertone with the navy, it might look a little off kilter. So if you can find those blacks that are really well saturated with maybe a blue undertone to it, that's going to be your best way to wear that. But yeah, that's definitely a myth.
Hey, and Eric, are you wearing black and navy today? Or are you wearing blue and blue?
I'm wearing black shoes, navy shirt.
So there you go. Yeah. Eric is wearing black and blue today. Yeah, there you go. And it looks
and
great,
I was just
bro.
I'm a fashionable Bruce.
You're fashionable. You just didn't even know it, right?
Right. But what Pamela's talking about is sometimes clothing, especially black, if it's something that gets washed often or from some of the more fast fashion kind of places, the dye is not as saturated. And so the black actually has undertones to it. So it can kind of have a red undertone or a green undertone. So that's what she's talking about. You kind of want to be careful and make sure that it's a true black.
And actually, the interesting thing about that, being someone that did design clothes and was in manufacturing, it has nothing really to do with whether it's fast fashion or whatever. It's there's so many shades of black and so many shades of blue that if you were approving one of the shades, after a while, you're just like, it looks fine to me. And it's like, whether it's fluorescent light or a different light, it's like you see it under a box and you're like, it's close enough because you're trying to get the same shade that you had before that was in the stores, especially things like replenishment things are coming back in. And the reality is sometimes you just cannot get the dye at the color tone absolutely perfect. And there's a standard and it just
forget that. With like print, you know, it's like there's the one color, the Pantone color, right? Mm-hmm. But then in fabrics, the fabrication, how it takes it, texture, how the light hits it, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
can I also one little tiny add-on? Also, when I was in high school, it was like you never wore cream and white together. Like, oh gosh, no. Yeah, that's total fallacy as well. You can wear white. You can wear white and cream together. Again, sort of an elevated, sophisticated
look. I love white and cream together.
Okay, so then let's talk about brown and black together. Yep. That's another one that people like. You don't wear those two together.
Wrong.
Exactly. Just wrong. Okay, yeah. Again, it comes down to the same thing as with the navy and black, just making sure that the tones are very similar. And then that way you'll get a really cohesive look. So there's three myths that we've busted in a minute.
I do think it's tough to wear brown. When you wear like a brown bottom with black shoes, personally for me, I'd probably do a different color. But
okay, but are you talking about menswear when you talk about that, or are you talking just in general?
Just in general, I still think that brown when your bottom half is brown, it's like your shoe color. When people's like, "Oh, I'll put black on because my top is black," like, I just have, and it's my personal thing.
Well, for me, like if I'm going to do a black and brown, it's going to be more like a cognac. It's mm-hmm. not going to be like a chocolate brown with right. a black, you know, it's a lighter shade of brown. So like in my head, that's what I'm thinking of. So.
All right. So today it's Bougie Beck. you know, a little cognac.
There you go.
With a single ice cube.
Absolutely. Welcome to the Bougie Club, Beck.
All right. So this is perfect because the next myth that I want to talk about is we've been talking about all these two color combos. So the tendency is to kind of wear only two colors. Now I'm not talking with prints. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about mixing more than one color. So we sort of touched on this last week when we touched on tonal dressing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, wearing variations of a color and that would look well, but can you really only wear two colors or can you wear like a pair of, I guess for women, like a blazer that's one color and pants that's another and a top that's another. Do you have to only mix two colors?
No, and you know that's not true because you wear multiple colors.
I know, but I think people play it safe. And so I want to encourage listeners.
You're absolutely right, Stacey, because I found myself falling into that trap sometimes as well. You know, it's like, okay, if I add that one more in, it's going to feel a little overwhelming mm-hmm. and a little bit too much. So there are tricks that you can do. And I'm going to let Bruce and Beck jump in with some of this as well. But the short answer is you can absolutely wear more than two colors. So there's some tips and tricks that we can kind of play in that to help. And go on, team.
Yeah.
Well, and just so you know, I bring it up because I get compliments all the time about, you know, the like how I pair things together and like, oh, it's so nice to see you wearing color, especially in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, like, oh, I wouldn't dare do that or I wouldn't have thought of that. So
well, I guess if you think about it, like when you look at a color wheel, right, which is something probably most people don't think about, you have colors that are directly opposite on the color wheel. You have them next to them. And when you take a look, there's so many complementary colors on that wheel. The same thing works with your clothing. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not sure, buy yourself a color wheel. Right. And then take a look at mm-hmm. what's directly opposite or what's off to the, you know, or is next to it. Mm-hmm. And it can give you a new lease on life in how you can mix colors together without having to think just, okay, I'm just going to wear, you know, navy and red, or I'm, you know, it gives you more options. So that's a simple way to do it. If people want to try it, but are concerned and they don't have a team in their pocket, mm-hmm. go grab a color wheel and it will really help yep. you figure out how to mix some really unexpected colors together as well. Bruce, you
I'd
got
also
anything
say
you
just to mm-hmm. oh sorry, just to add to that, I'd say you kind of want to make sure that the color values are the same.
Yes,
so
that's what I was
for example
say
like if you're going to do orange, you know, the opposite color to that is more of a royal blue as opposed mm-hmm. to like a sky blue.
Yeah.
You kind of want, if you're going to go bold, go bold. If you're going to go pastel, go pastel. But you
absolutely.
Want the color values to sort of be of the same ilk.
Right.
Yeah. The intensity of color is important. You don't want to do something that's muddy with something that's bright because then it just looks,
It looks like, Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Think about your crayon box, people.
Yeah.
All right. So should we take a quick break here?
Let's take a quick break.
Absolutely.
All right. I have a ton more questions. So keep listening to Wisdom from the Wardrobe with the Michael Bruce Image Consulting team. We have some more fashion and style myths that we want to bust.
Do you feel challenged by the thought of getting ready every day? Want to make a great first impression, but don't feel your wardrobe represents who you really are? Does the thought of trying to find great clothing that fits your body and lifestyle have you overwhelmed? Michael Bruce Image Consulting is a premier image consulting company that can help you get your style back on track. Contact them at michaelbruceimageconsulting.com or call them at 425-214-4155 and start that conversation today.
I'm not famous or connected or an influencer. I'm Stacey Heller of Stacey Connects, and I love to talk with strangers, friends, and family. So I started a podcast about making connections through conversation, asking questions instead of making assumptions, and addressing the elephant in any room. I also often go on tangents that beg the question, where is she going with this? Stacey Connects is meant to be enlightening and entertaining, or as I like to call it, edutainment. Listen, enjoy, and subscribe to Stacey Connects wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay. Hey, welcome back to Wisdom from the Wardrobe. And we are talking about myths. Now, during the break, I shared that if I ever did drag, I want my drag name to be Myth Busted or Myth Busty. And I was laughed at, but I think because it's so good.
Absolutely, Stacey.
It's so good. Absolutely. Okay. What's the next myth to for us? Oh, here's one for me. I have one. It doesn't matter what athletic sneaker you wear when you're wearing athleisure clothes.
Oh, that's a good
interesting
one.
Question. Okay. All right. Well, I think some of that's going to depend on your style perspective,
right?
To be perfectly honest, of what kind of look you're going for. So I think that one's a really broad question, and it's a little maybe challenging to answer in one go. But if you're wearing athleisure, I would say look for something that doesn't look like you're going to go out for a run in it, because then that really is athletic wear. So athleisure is really something that's inspired by athletic materials or athletic styles. So there are so many footwear options that kind of build into that athleisure vibe. And even some shoes that were considered more athletic probably 2 decades ago and now considered more athleisure than they are athletic. And I think some of that's to do with technology and how it's grown. But I would say look for something that is, firstly, don't wear your shoes that you wear to the gym or that you go for a run in with your like athleisure style clothing. So if you're wearing a dressy jogger with a blazer and a t-shirt, don't then put your running shoe on with it, because then I think it just kind of it de-elevates the outfit that you've put together. So
this all the time. It drives me absolutely crazy. Someone was wearing a full suit, white shirt, tie with a pair of ASICS sneaks. I'm like, that is not athleisure.
Well, that's not an athleisure outfit anyway, if it's a real suit. I mean, that's...
I love the indignation, though. Like, basically, you have to think in terms of, like, you know, let me talk to, like, the moms and dads out there that have, say, a preteen boy.
Right.
And you have, like, the sneakers that are the dress sneakers for when you're going to, like, grandma's funeral. And then you have the sneakers that they wear to like hang with their friends or go to gym or whatever. So it's like athleisure is not athletic wear. And so it's a dressier sneaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you can take something like right now, Adidas Gazelles or Sambas are very on trend, right? So those are the kinds of shoes I was talking about 20 years ago would probably have been an athletic shoe. But I don't see people going, other than playing maybe soccer in those, they're not something people are going to wear to go for a run or go to the gym. So those have kind of transitioned into more of an athleisure vibe to them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's definitely lots and lots of options. You just, you know, and I would say Air Force Ones have become something that's very mainstream for wearing as an athleisure vibe as opposed to athletic
wear.
Which
is a Nike shoe, by the way, for people who don't know.
Yeah.
It is all white Nike leather sneaker.
But do you guys think the Dunk is a good sneaker to wear for athleisure?
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, it's going to depend on what your style aesthetic is, right? So it's a heavier, it's a basketball shoe, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, but it's... You know, I don't know if anybody actually wears those on the court anymore, but again, that might be a shoe that's transitioned from athletic to athleisure.
Hmm.
So anyway, we went kind of round the houses on that one.
Also, people are wondering people want to know, what do you mean Dunk? Is that different than Air Force One? What are you talking about?
So a Dunk is more of a basketball inspired shoe. So it's higher up the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's heavier.
You know, it's a heavier shoe. So you think kind of Air Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. I just wanted to explain to people.
Thank you.
Well,
Stacey.
Bruce and I had a little sneaker moment on Friday because I have just made plans to go to Europe and it's going to be a big walking trip. And I brought a little pair of sneaks with me last time and they were not great for walking. It turns out I ended up with a blister and I needed something else. And so I've decided I'm joining the white sneaker trend, which I have, you know, little canvas ones, but I want to do something with sort of a wide leg trouser and a white sneak and like a blazer or a denim jacket, you know, kind of the kind of elevated athleisure. And so I ended up at, I'm going to give a little shout out to Shoes and Feet in Bellevue. Boy, they had, I tried on three different shoes. By the way, Pete, they carry Frankie Four shoes and have for years before they opened the store.
Perfect.
The mall.
I was just going to say, I just spent a week in New York and was walking 10 miles a day. And most days I wore my Frankie Four sneakers because they are super comfortable. They have that athleisure vibe, which I was wearing with wide leg trousers, but my feet did not hurt one little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
I ended up with a different brand. I didn't get the Frankie Fours, but also, you know, like people also love their Hokas. Well, I've always seen Hokas in crazy bright colors. Well, they do make just a simple all-white Hoka. That's actually a really sleek-looking shoe. So, I don't know. It was just kind of fun to go down the steam. I'm not a sneaker wearer, I mean, I am when I work out, but I am not normally a sneaker wearer. So, it was kind of fun to kind of go down that route a little bit. And I ended up with sort of a almost like a knit sneaker. I don't know. It's I can't even describe it. I'm not quite sure, but I love it. I'm really pleased with it. So,
by the way, listeners, all of these shoes that have been mentioned are brand names. So slow down the speed of this if you're listening on podcast, and then you can get the names of all of these sneakers.
Or alternatively, go to our Instagram and you'll see the Frankie Four sneakers that I'm talking about in black on a couple of the outfits that we did. And I've got them. I've got a white version as well that I can do some outfits with later on. But all right, let's move on to the next question. Stacey, you got another one for us or shall I jump in?
I do have another one, but why don't you jump in just for, you know.
All right. Okay. So here's one. Should I wear, should I not wear bright colors in the fall and winter? And when I say bright colors, I mean things like pink and orange, because it's typically a dull time of year.
It's probably the best time of year to wear bright colors. Especially where we live, man. It's pretty gray here. So having someone wearing bright colors, it's like, oh my, it's awesome.
Yeah. So that's definitely absolutely not. You can wear bright colors in, you know, this time of year. But I would say you want to think about saturation of color as well. So because you want to be able to mix those colors in with more of those fall, autumnal and winter colors that we are usually mainstays in our wardrobe. So think rather than the kind of the pastel colors, you want more of the kind of fuchsia pinks and the magentas and those kinds of things, because they have a richer undertone to them that will work better with some of those darker colors that we are wearing this time of year.
I also think you want to consider fabrication because of the season, whether the color is it's great.
Right. But we're talking about, okay, there's a bright pink sweater there that you're like, well, that's a spring summer color.
Not at all.
No, it's just how you wear it and the fabrics that you wear it in. Absolutely. All right, Stacey, what have you got?
Well, I want to follow up on your, you asked about bright colors, and I want to talk about the myth that pink is only really for little girls or women or Barbies.
Absolutely not.
So, I mean, A, the Barbie movie, you know, that came out and, you know, like that did a lot. But generally, men can absolutely wear pink and women can wear pink, and there's so many fabulous shades of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of guys kind of shy away from likes of pinks and lavenders and that kind of thing, but I think they're a great addition to any guy's wardrobe. You know, even if it's just a small touch, if you're somebody that wears ties but you don't want to do the lavender or the pink shirt, you could have a tie with a touch of one of those colors in them. But you know, when you talk about pinks and purples, they don't have to be really, really bright. It could be just a touch, or it could be a plaid in a shirt, or it could be, I don't know, a really soft sweater that just adds a little bit and can actually add a little bit more personality to a wardrobe and some versatility. But no, absolutely.
And I'm going to throw this out there, because I have had at least two clients say to me with regard to the more, and I'm going to use air quotes, feminine colors, is that going to make me look gay? P.S. Get over your homophobia. No, it's not, because everyone knows that you're straight. And B, it's just, they're very complementary colors. Mm-hmm. Even on men, I think they can really make a men's skin tone look fantastic. So we're here to tell you men can wear those colors and no one is going to think anything less of you or that you're effeminate or anything like that. Right. So we got to get out of our heads, because that's a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Don't. Anyway.
Preach, queen.
Sorry. Sidebar. I could do a whole show on that, but that's a whole separate.
All right, Stacey, what else you got?
Okay. We probably only have time for one more. So I want to talk about stripes. There's a couple different myths. One, that you shouldn't wear stripes. Oops, Beck, you slipped.
False. Or yeah, I'm wearing stripes that, today.
Exactly. Or that somehow, like, horizontal stripes are going to make you look wide, whereas, like, vertical stripes are going to make you look tall. So let's talk about stripes.
Yes,
okay,
let's.
I love stripes and wear them all the time, so I'm not following any rules. And I will say, today, I'm wearing a pair of jeans. I have a python boot with a striped turtleneck on. So I love treating stripes as a neutral. Like, it doesn't need to necessarily be like, oh, it's a pattern, I can't do anything else. Like,
mm-hmm. I think, Stacey, what you're getting at there is, you know, people that maybe feel like they have, like, I'm going to go with like myself. I'm going to use myself as an example. I have really broad shoulders, right? So worrying that the stripes can accentuate those areas and make them look bigger because it's, you know, it's across, it's widthways. What I think you should really think about is the thickness of the stripe, right? Mm-hmm. So if that is something that is concerning you, go with a smaller stripe. Don't do a big one. Because that is going to accentuate, but just, you know, look for either a medium, a small, a hairline, something like that, that is going to, it's still going to give you that same visual impact of having that, you know, classic stripe, but without adding width in those areas. So it's the same with, yeah. It's the same with thinking about patterns. It's the scale of something. If an area of you feels bigger, you want to scale down right. on the print of the pattern. So you want to go medium or small. And conversely, if you're somebody that's more petite and you want to accentuate, then you want to go bigger on those patterns.
Right. And maybe consider right. do a dark ground with a thin stripe and don't do a chest stripe, because then when you start color blocking, that's where you accentuate shoulders and things like that.
At the end of the day, people, the only stripes that are bad are the bars that you put yourself behind, like some kind of a jail. So don't limit yourself, okay?
Oh, there you go.
If you want to connect
with
us.
Don't be in fashion prison, folks.
Exactly. Bust out.
Bust
like
out.
Myths. Hey, everybody. If you want to connect with us, go to michaelbruceimageconsulting.com. Follow us on social and michaelbruceic. And have a great week.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
That's a wrap.
Bye.
The myths have been busted.
Myth busted.
If you like what you're listening to and want to learn more about the team, get some great style inspiration and useful style tips on how to elevate your personal style, you can follow them on Instagram at Michael Bruce IC. That's Instagram at Michael Bruce IC. Thanks for listening.